Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Portsmouth Running Podcast. After a bit of a delayed break, I think it's been about 3 or 4 weeks since we released the last show. So we're pleased to be back. I'm pleased to be recording, and always ever pleased to be joined by my lovely co-host David Harvey. Dave, hey. Welcome.
Hey, dude. How's it going?
I'm good. And you know, we haven't even had a chance to ask each other how we're really doing since we connected here, because it's a random quick slot that we've had on this lovely Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, there's been a window of opportunity in our busy schedules, isn't there, so that we're able to come and record absolute tripe for people to listen to. So
exactly. And you know what, I think, you know, as much as people have missed us, I've missed you. I feel like I haven't seen you for ages.
It's been a long while. In fact, you said 3 or 4 weeks since we last. Did you do an episode that where we didn't do like a little intro or something? Because I'm sure it's more than 3 or 4 weeks, because I've done so much stuff recently that I haven't seen you for ages. So
it probably has been longer, I think, actually. Yeah. So I apologize to listeners. I know a few people actually approached me last week and said, is there another show coming out soon? Because I need something to listen to on one of my runs, which was really nice. And I thought, OK, we've got to get this out now. So I can only apologize. But we've got an awesome guest on this week, Dave, because with somebody who we've had on before, Ollie Steele Perkins, who is founder and I guess kind of creator and owner of Blended Trails, which I know a lot of like the Portsmouth runners have been kind of going up to try some of the pop-up trails and things. So we get Ollie on to talk all about kind of a little bit about his pop-up trails again and what races they've been doing, but more importantly, a backyard ultra that he's organizing for next year.
Excellent. Yeah, nice one. It's funny that you say his name, because I was at the finish line in the Serpent Trail last night and bumped into Joe. She was wearing a Blended Trails top, and I was like, oh, Blended Trails. I haven't gone and done one of those for ages. So,
yeah. Oh, amazing. How was Joe? Ever so friendly.
Yes. Yeah. Had done the 20K. I think everyone found it a little bit kind of warm, whether they were doing the 10, 20, 50 or 100K. It looked kind of brutal. But man, what a setup they have at the finish line.
Was it?
We were sort of like mulling around at home. We'd been to like the Clanfield Festival, which is the third festival I've been to this week, and then the fourth that I've been to this month. But that's a whole nother story.
We need to talk about that in a bit. Yep.
Yeah. So we went down there to see one of my Clanfield friends finish, and then saw Jason Skiro and Jeff finish. And I was like, oh, yeah, totally forgot you guys were doing it.
Amazing. That's so good.
Bumped into Joe, but wow, I never fancied doing that race, but the finish line was absolutely fantastic. Like the tents, it felt like a little mini festival, hay bales everywhere. Like people being filmed by the Salomon crew as they came in, cowbells and loads of crowds at the finish line, a bar, barbecue, a Salomon shop, you know. So if for you it would be absolute kind of like kryptonite.
It's like taking a demon into a church. Yeah. it burns. Exactly. It's holy water. So, yeah.
But I sat there thinking, do you know what, I think I might do this next year.
Okay.
Maybe the 50k, or I don't know about, like, for me there's something about advertising a race in kilometers that automatically puts me off, because I never think, like, I don't know how good I am at that kilometer. I know how good I am at miles, and I know it's a really easy conversion, but like when it comes to kilometer races, I'm just like, no, I'll stick to 100 miles rather than 100 kilometers.
Yeah, it's in between. It's, I mean, if you're going to go like into the 60 miles, you might as well just go to the 100 miles. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's logic in that madness for me. So
yeah, I can understand that. Oh, that's so good. I'm glad you bumped into Joe as well and said hello, because Ollie and I tried to convince her to come onto the show, because she does a lot of good work kind of behind the scenes at Blended, and she does a lot of their social media stuff and things. And she's just an awesome person, but she was a little bit hesitant and wanted to stick to the back. So Joe, if you're listening, next time we're going to get you on.
So just to make up for all of that, we could just talk about Joe for the next 20 minutes, couldn't we?
Yeah, actually that's a good thing. And if she's listening, she'll be cringing about this or the whole thing. Yeah.
Well, she was wearing a black hoodie and she had blonde hair and was standing in a field. That's sort of like, you know, long and short bit. I don't know what more I can add about it, but no, it was great.
That's brilliant. Yeah, but now it's yeah. I mean, we've often spoken about backyards and kind of that format that we've both never tried yet. But and I think it's something that you would be, you know, because your grit and your pure kind of like just you make it look effortless sometimes. Will to carry on going, I think, would just be amazing at a backyard. I think you'd be going 5 days later if it was still going.
I don't know about that, Dan. I think that you think that. I think that I think I'd be shit at it.
Yeah.
There's something about I don't know, there's something about it that is absolutely brutal to it that I don't know. I need to go and have a go.
Yeah, definitely.
And see what it's like. See, go up against other people, and because you need to find your purpose within it, don't you? And if you suddenly start getting into it, and then your mind starts getting into that competition mode, I can imagine it getting really kind of like really rewarding, really hard, especially if you start to go like the distances that some people have been doing in them recently.
Yeah, I think there was crazy ones.
400 miles or something like that people did recently, wasn't it? So
yeah, I can't remember how many days it was, but it was literally like when I saw the amount of hours that they'd been up, I thought to myself, well, surely you'd be ill like that far into a race. Like I don't know how you could possibly keep going, but it seems that people have it.
Was it the Sussex one recently? It started on a Saturday, and then Wednesday morning they were still going.
Yeah, it's just mad. Like how that's nearly like a full week of work.
It's just mad. You know, it's better than a week at work, but you know.
Yeah. And I guess it's different to another race because obviously, you know, with the timeouts at the stations and you know, you've got to kind of keep moving, and you can, I guess, I don't know, sometimes in races you've got like a little bit more time to faff about with. Although you are chasing the cutoffs, but with a backyard, you've got that kind of like hour you have to be at that start of the 4.1 mile loop. It sounds ludicrous. I think it might be like maybe something that I'll come back to when I come back to long distance training, because I've officially unofficially retired myself slightly from long stuff, dude. I'm done.
You're having a period of convalescence in the short from the longer stuff.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. I'm just, you know, South Downs Way, obviously a couple of weeks ago and actually 3 weeks ago now, did not have a good day.
What happened? Because you did it, got to 54 miles, and then what? Lost your mojo, couldn't carry on, had the other strength, a little bit of everything, too hot. What was it like?
Well, I mean, it was hot, but it was probably the hottest I've done that course, definitely. In fact, by a mile. But I did last until kind of 7 o'clock, I think, when we got to Washington. But I, you know, the mojo, Dave, I didn't even lose it. It just wasn't there. Like even in the months leading up to the race, and it's been ever since the end of Grand Union last year. There's just some spark that's been like, you know, like someone with wet fingers has put out a candle. Just can't heat it up and just can't ignite it anymore. So
is it just the long stuff or
just the long stuff? Just the long stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's mainly the eating and the nutrition. So I just don't want to eat. I do not want to run and eat and drink those bloody sports drinks. I need to like invent some kind of savory drink or something some kind of soup that you can buy in like Salem
like Mulligatawny Tailwind.
Oxtail Tailwind.
I get it, man, but like you've not exactly had the most mentally easy last 12 months of you since did you do Grand Union this year or last year? It was last year,
it was last year. So I had everything pretty much going on then as well.
So like long distance running, it just takes so much, doesn't it? And I remember thinking myself pre-tunnel and post-tunnel, thinking, shit, can I really keep on doing this? Because the amount of effort that you put in to train for things, and then the effort that the race takes, which is the enjoyable part, the glory from finishing is wonderful, but then the recovery hurts, and you trying to find your mojo after that. I think that there's, for some people, and I might be one of them, that I always seem to refind that purpose in something else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that might be something short, something long, or something really stupidly long, but there's always sort of refined it. So I'm sure, I have no doubt that you'll suddenly start, like, you know, finding that your 5k time is going to start getting ridiculous, or your marathon time is going to suddenly give you loads of purpose and stuff like that. But
I think, you know, I'll build it up like that. I'll build up the short stuff for a while, then it might lead on to some longer runs, and then we'll see where it goes. But
yeah, I mean, it's so clear that you love running.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You get those people, don't you, that will go and run the London Marathon, and then that will be their, like, right, I've done a marathon, box ticked, go on with their life and never run again. Whereas others will run a marathon and then think, oh my God, that's like crack, and just suddenly start getting into the ultras and the longer stuff.
Yeah.
Running hundreds of marathons, and, you know, so just different strokes for different folks, isn't it, really?
Exactly, and I know it will come back, and this is me not saying that, you know, the running's fatiguing me. I love the running. I still love the training. I love the sessions I'm doing. I love the community. I love the people I'm running with. But and I will still come for weekend long runs, but I just don't want to race at the moment. So I'm gonna, this is me talking. Sometimes I have random moments where I might just suddenly perk up and go, oh, I've had an idea. I've quite fancy that, and then we'll go from there. But for now, that's the kind of stance I'm taking.
So nothing in the diary.
Nothing in the diary for now. But I know for you, your diary has got Sparta. You've got the big blue coming up. You've got Greece. Oh man, I'm assuming your training started, and you kicked off your training by going to three festivals.
I have. Yeah. So June has been a welcome bit of like chill time. Well, I say chill time. It's not been chilled out at all, but.
No.
It's just been a welcome bit of escapism.
Cool.
Because and I was a bit like you with Sparta, thinking, does this really work for me? And there's still something in it that I think, I don't know, maybe it's just like anxiety and fear of the race, because it's 150 miles in heat.
Yeah.
Maybe it's that's sort of making me feel a bit anxious about it and a bit unsure
and
about
travel
the whole thing.
Yeah.
But I went to... Obviously, I had to go to Download Festival to go and see the Mighty Metallica. So they played for 2 days.
How was it?
Oh, mate, they're fucking amazing. They're always amazing. So I must have seen them almost 20 times. And every time, it brings a tear to my eye when they come on. They play The Ecstasy of Gold. And then you'll spend 2 hours with, like, my favourite music. And they played for 2 nights. So it was 2 nights Metallica, a night of Slipknot, and then some other stuff.
Like, blimey, so you had Slipknot and Metallica. That was basically you and Heather in heaven.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, she bloody loves Slipknot. But Slipknot were on the fourth day, and we were so, like, festivaled out by the fourth day. Like, Corey Taylor comes on stage, and they start singing stuff like, you know, fuck it all, fuck this world, fuck everything you stand for. And we're just like, oh, should we go to bed?
Yeah. Get a cup of tea.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had a week. We had a week back at work, and last weekend went to Glastonbury, which is probably my favourite place in the world. And for anyone listening, don't try and get a ticket, because it means that there's less chance I can get a ticket.
And you, of course, last year you went, you had that really nice kind of accommodation, and this year you were back to, I assume, tents and public toilets and stuff.
Well, yeah, sort of. So we're in Upper Glastonbury, what we called it, and this year we were in Middle Glastonbury.
Okay.
So, which was up in Worthy View, where you already have a pitched tent, and it's quite chilled out. So you pay through the nose to have a pitched tent, but for what you get taken there by bus, and then they will escort your belongings to your tent in a wheelbarrow. There's no all night raving or anything around Worthy View, and it's up a hill.
Okay.
So you sort of detach from the festival. So when you're like, oh, I've had enough of, at like 4 o'clock in the morning, and you've been listening to Psytrance for 6 hours, you can just be like, right, let's go. Whereas if you're in like the Pennards Field or around the festival site, then it would be like having your head in one of the speakers till 6 a.m. when the music
stops.
Oh
my God, I could never do that, dude. If I wanted to just go off and go to sleep, I would not be able to live with that. No way.
No. is, dude, it's fucking hard work. And there are obviously parts of the Glastonbury site that are really quiet if you want to walk.
Okay.
Because it's such a massive site. I mean, you can be at one stage, say like Woodsies, which is like the old John Peel stage, and you need to get to Shangri-La or to Block 9, which are like these areas that are out of this world. There are installations and stages at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And with DJs playing, and it challenges your kind of like your belief in your own eyes and your every sense. It's like a sensory overload experience. So you can be walking for like 2 hours to get to the next stage through 200,000 people. But everywhere you look, there's a new stage, a new thing to see, a new type of music, a healing field or a green field.
Yeah.
There's like, it's such like a celebration of culture, music, diversity, people. And, you know, this is no word of a lie, about 30 minutes before Elton John came on, we're at the Glade stage, which used to be its own festival with like psytrance,
okay,
and electronic music. And we'd seen Carl Cox there a couple of nights before. And then 30 minutes before Elton John came on, we were there with a psytrance DJ just having the time of our lives. And then we're like, let's go see Elton John. And where can you get that? It's absolutely
amazing.
You're not
going to get that anyway. Wow. Awesome, anyway. Man. That sounds so good. Did you get any running? Did you get any running done while you were there? Groups organising runs.
There is like a Glastonbury 5K that I was going to go and do, but we had had a lively night up. So I ditched that to go and have a singing bowl session.
Okay.
So, which was like a gong bath. So that was really beautiful, and that kind of chilled me out and set me up for the day. And an hour later, had an hour with a Wim Hof instructor.
Okay.
Jeez. You know, I've done Wim Hof for years, and he taught me how to do it, like, properly.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I did this hour of breathing, and it was like the barrier between my skin and the air had dissipated, and I was just sort of like one kind of floating cloud of David with no barriers between me and the world. You know, it was really crazy.
Dude, so. Sounds amazing. It's like such a mix of things. I'd love to experience it, but I would definitely need my cup of tea and a comfortable toilet and bathroom at the end of it. So
yeah, you can have that if you need it. You can have it. But, you know, okay. Even like the when you're in the yurt doing the Wim Hof stuff. Once you're done out of that, I think I stood up and there was this guy called Eats Everything doing the history of rave in the tent just 2 minutes away with loads of people raving. So, and you had no sense that there was these raves happening around you when you were doing the Wim Hof stuff. So it's, the way they do it, it's amazing. So definitely recommend going.
Okay.
But not at the expense of my ticket.
Yeah, so don't enter, everyone, all right? Just don't apply for tickets. Dave needs his for next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing, but, amazing. But listen, we need to catch up soon, because I'd love to chat more about like what you got up to there and some of the music and the tunes and stuff, because keen to hear more. But we need to go for a run. So
yes.
Maybe next weekend we can get together and have a run with some of the group up at QE or something. We'll come over to Clowners.
Yeah, definitely. What about Friday night? Are you out for a beer, maybe? Just or a quick high five and hello at the brew house?
Are you going down there?
Yeah, we'll be.
Is that the brew? Is that the old White Horse, old Langtrees?
No, I'm thinking about Merchant House or the Festing or something like that.
Ah, okay, cool. Well, yeah, I could do actually. So I think I'm free next weekend.
Awesome.
Let's aim for that. But dude, thank you so much for your time.
No, take it easy.
Sorry we haven't caught up, but yeah, we're going to go in straight into the interview with Ollie to talk about the Ultimate Trail Race, Blended's Backyard Ultra, which takes place on the 8th of June, 8th and 9th of June, and probably the 10th and 11th and 3rd, 12th and 13th of Dave Inters, 2024. Right, Dave, you take care. You look after yourself.
Thank you, mate.
See you soon.
Right.
Yes, bye.
Bye.
Okay, today we welcome the founder and event director behind the Hampshire-based trail running community called Blended Trails. And my friend, Ollie Steele-Perkins. Ollie, welcome to the show again.
Thanks, Dan. Great to be here. How are you doing?
Not too bad, thank you. Not too bad. How are you? Are you good?
Yeah, really good, thank you.
Excellent,
Melting in
excellent.
this heat.
I know, I know. And you know, like honestly, the running at the moment, especially after like the weekend experience I had, has just been like insane. I mean, it's just come on suddenly, and it's always that time of year as well where like we start to think, oh, I'm really unfit, and I don't know why. Maybe I'm ill, or maybe there's something going on, or but it's like it's actually just the temperature increase.
I've had the same thoughts as well. So whilst prepping up for a race in a few weeks' time, but I think it's now going to be participation, not racing. But looking forward to it all the same.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a while since we had you last on the show. Obviously, we mentioned earlier when we were just chatting before recording that it's been since 2020 that you were last on, October 2020, when we did episode, well, I can't even remember. I think it might have been episode 29 that we had you on. But yeah, welcome back. I mean, it's
Yeah, thank you very much. I can't believe it was that long ago, but
you're in that elite club now where you can say like, oh, I've been twice on the Portsmouth Running Podcast.
yeah, thank you very much for having me back. It's great.
It's a pleasure, mate. So, and probably people's reply to that would be, what's the Portsmouth Running
What's the word?
Podcast?
Sorry.
What's the Portsmouth Running
Oh, yeah.
Podcast? Now, listen, it's been great to chat, and I'm looking forward to kind of like maybe going over a few things about blended trails, what they're all about, the pop-ups, and of course all the races and the excitement around your first backyard ultra, which is
Yeah,
exciting, super exciting. So
it's really exciting. Yeah, looking forward to that. It still feels like it's a long way off in terms of date, but they take a lot of all events take a lot of planning, but
oh,
especially
gotcha.
sort of a backyard. But yeah, looking forward to chatting.
Awesome. Looking forward to good. So you got I've got to ask, what are the beautiful trails up? I call you up north because you're North Hampshire. It is North Hampshire. Is it counted as
Up
North
north in
Hampshire?
Hampshire, yeah.
Yeah. What are the
The
trails
trails
like?
are amazing at the moment. I mean, they're obviously sun-baked already, but with the crops sort of growing nicely, that the paths are sort of crafted through. They're easy to follow, nice to run, and we've got amazing trails up here. So that's kind of it's really what started back in lockdown when we started the
Yeah.
pop-up. So yeah. It's just sharing all the routes around here because the running is superb. And I find that with a lot of the running that I do, the more I sort of venture further afield, the trail starts to stitch themselves into each other. So the area of sort of natural knowledge just gets bigger and bigger. And that enables me to kind of put some really good routes together. There's also lots of exploring to be done as well. So we're really lucky, in Hampshire generally, but the sort of pocket that we're in has got some superb trails.
No, they really are. They're lovely and beautiful. And one thing I noticed recently going up onto the trails is when you've got the, I think it's cornfields and all the rapeseed flower fields, they just look stunning. Like they're just so picturesque. Like, I always want to grab a nice photo, like standing in the corn or something. It never comes out well, but they're just
Well,
beautiful to
there's
look at.
always lots of photo opportunities, which of course does mean there's lots of opportunities to stop and chat if you're on a group run,
True.
and catch your breath. But yeah, it's with the crops, like you say, with the rapeseed fields, they look amazing. And we had a race recently, and we just missed the yellow coming out on the crop. So it was sort of just there, and then it sprung about a week later. But we still got lucky and had some great weather for the event, so that was good.
Awesome, awesome. Have
But
you
yeah,
been out?
ever-changing landscape.
Yeah, exactly. Have you been out running today? Have you what's kind of going on with your training and stuff?
No, not yet. I'm going out this evening,
Nice.
and that will be a club run with my local club, Alton Runners, and that I try and do two sessions a week with them. On a Tuesday where we do a speed session, on a Thursday we do a more social, longer run, and at this time of year it's all on the trails, obviously. So yeah, it's going to be good.
Nice. And yeah, Alton Runners, you just mentioned you're a member of. I'm glad to hear you're still a member of the club, because it's such a nice club, and I've been up to run with them a few times now, a couple of times. Did
Yeah.
the Christmas light run with them once, and
Yeah,
a
that's a good
couple of
one.
other runs. Yeah, really good. Got some good members, some yeah, really always really friendly, always very welcoming. So it's great to come up there
Yeah,
and do that.
well, no, it's great. And I shadowed our previous chairman and the race director for the Alton 10, which was a road race. So I shadowed him this year because I'm taking on the race director role next year. So that's sort of getting a bit into the club, and that's all part of the Hampshire Road Race League. So wow. a little bit different to blended trails, but it's all in the race director kind of camp, and obviously doing a lot of that with blended, and it's nice to be part of the club as well.
Ollie, yeah. I get the feeling you're a bit like, are you into like the Marvel superhero films?
No.
you're a bit like the character Quicksilver. Like, I don't know how do you, the time that you fit all this in? It's just insane. Because I know how much kind of goes into these race event organizing and stuff like that. And now you're doing like some club stuff as well. It's you're clearly good at it, and you've obviously mastered your time around it as well.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it is a challenge, of course, but with the club organizing the club event, there's a sort of infrastructure there already, because it's a well-established race. So
yeah,
there's a team of people, and obviously there's the club to draw on. With blended, it's a little different. There's obviously lots of volunteers and marshals that help at the races, which we're always really grateful for, and that makes the event, to be honest. But it's also one of the challenges of bringing an event together, and it does take quite a bit of time. The sort of the whole process of event planning takes months, but it doesn't have to be intense all the way through that period. But the build up to the race, sort of the month before, is actually really intense. So I do have help, and I'm really grateful for that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of tech, which I'm quite into, for the general tech around the sort of running space, if you like. So there's a lot of decent race registration platforms and integrations happening, which is all good for both organisers but also participants as well, because it's helping them sort of get a better race day experience.
Fantastic! It all kind of comes together. That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Ollie, just for the listeners, and I know we've been talking for a few minutes already, maybe you could just tell them like who you are, your full name, where you're from, where you hail from in the country. And I thought I would drop this on you and say an interesting fact or two about yourself that maybe I don't even know. Just to put you on the spot.
Yeah, that's a little bit. So my name's Ollie Steele Perkins. I'm the founder of Blended Trails, which is a trail running community. And event organisers that we set up in lockdown. We're based in East Hampshire, but we're sort of in the Alton-Winchester area. And interesting fact, I had an accident when I was 18, and I broke my neck, but recovered very, very well with a lot of obviously professional help. But I was doing a lot of sport prior to that, which is kind of where my background from running comes. So I had quite a few years out of running, but got back into it, and never turned back, as they say. So yeah, there's the fact.
Gosh, wow, you broke your neck. That's incredible. Full recovery, no issues with it now. Wow.
No, I was extremely lucky. I was 18 at the time, but obviously very, very good surgeons, looked after incredibly well. So incredibly lucky.
Nice.
Okay,
brilliant. And one more question, because before we dive into the actual blended details, which I'm sure everyone's waiting for, but I wanted to find out, when you're not trail crafting, as I call it now, which I think is just a beautiful phrase, and when you're not race directing or thinking about races or checking out routes, what do you do to relax? Is there kind of like a go-to hobby, or are there books or films, or is it TV?
That is a good question. So, I mean, I've always found running my space for sort of relaxation. That probably sounds mad to some people, but to a lot of runners, it wouldn't do. But it's where I get headspace. But outside of that, I like to be active all the time. So I've spent a long time, probably over the last 3 years now, doing a lot of DIY work. So I've done quite a big building project at home, which has included sort of building an outbuilding. So yeah, joinery and DIY.
Wow, brilliant. You're just like my
a lot of time for that now.
I know. And I've got an older brother who's into that. I just literally cannot do anything. I can probably lay a floor as long as it's laminate. but other than that, I need to get people in to do that kind of stuff.
All good skills.
Yeah. So Ollie, so we'll get into it now. Obviously, I mentioned earlier you were on the show back on episode 29 in the year 2020. So almost 3 years ago. And we spoke then, I guess, primarily about Blended Trails, what it was all about, your pop-up events, which are super popular now. And then obviously we covered a little bit about the race organizing that you were kind of getting into back then. So what I thought would be good for our listeners and our new listeners is maybe for you to describe what Blended Trails is all about, how it started, and kind of, I guess, how it's grown since then.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, well, we, as I said earlier, we started in 2020, and the concept then, which has just evolved really, but the concept was to mark trail routes in the local area and then share that information with a group via social media, and we set the trails up so whilst they were physically marked, they were also prepped with a digital map, so using Strava or OS maps, and then we share those links to enable people to go out and exercise on those routes, which obviously in lockdown was through restrictions, so people could either go out on their own and follow the route safely, or when we were allowed to go in groups of three or four or five, whatever it was, that happened as well. So we sort of built up a group and a community started from that, because it was inclusive from the word go, because people were talking about it and it was something new and different, and it was interesting for people to go and find, you know, in some cases explore trails for the first time. Some people were finding routes that they hadn't, you know, they didn't even know existed that were near them, so it was encouraging people to get out and have exercise in a sort of safe and healthy way. And it moved on, but the pop-ups we still do them. We try and do one a month, but with races, obviously that's dropping a little bit. But we're definitely doing somewhere between sort of 8 and 10 a year, I would have thought. And they're always different routes, and we still mark them. We've had difficulty with in some cases where people take the markers and move them, because the kind of general theme is that we go out and mark the route typically on a Thursday or a Friday, and then we open and share the information to enable people to go out on a Saturday, and we keep that marked for 9 days, so it's always open for 2 weekends, and over that period we'll do group runs, social runs, and just watch people kind of enjoy that, enjoy the routes and sharing new photos and chat about it. So
Ollie, I think I reckon it's evil badgers that keep moving your signs. I've got a theory.
It could well be. I have no idea who's moving them, but we had one scenario where all of the markers apart from one were removed within a few hours of actually marking, which is incredible, but you know, we generally only have one or two that might get moved, so that's, you know, we expect it, and we'll go back and stick them back up again if we can. But I would like to add that all of our routes are actually on public rights of way, and as a community we respect the Countryside Code, which is there for everybody that's using the countryside to kind of be part of, really. And I guess people will move markers because they think it's interrupting kind of their that part of the land that perhaps they're close to. It might be near someone's garden, for example, or whatever. But we're always really careful with where we place signs. And if we need consent, we're always going to get consent. We now try and organise the start and finish where there's parking, or where it might be near a pub or a shop or something like that. So it gets a little bit harder to kind of find venues, but the route's always popular, and we obviously share the digital files, so people can access that whenever they want through our website, and we're free to join as well. So, you know, people can join the community through the website. They can follow us on social. We've got kind of Strava group, Instagram, basically all the usual stuff. And we've probably got about 1,500 people in the community now who are all sort of active, actively engaged in kind of what we're doing. So they're interested to hear about new routes. They're interested to hear about our events and things like that. So
great.
That's good.
That's awesome. I love that it's still going. And obviously I get notified every time a pop-up comes along. And I've, for various reasons in my life, I've not been up one recently, but I really do want to come. I would love to. And you
Come
know
up
me,
north there.
I always come fully charged with a GoPro because I'm the world's biggest poser.
Yes.
So
I think the last time I saw you up here was at the race last year, wasn't it? When you did at the hard yards, when
that's
you did
right.
exceptionally well.
Yeah, that's right. That was good. That was a really good day out. I love that. And yeah, shortly after that, I got COVID.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's a
But no, it was good.
problem.
It was a really good day.
Yeah.
Ollie, I was going to say before. So obviously, we're going to move into the backyard ultra, which I know is the content that
Yeah.
we kind of want to spend the most time on. But I just wanted to ask
Yeah,
very
sure.
quickly, your races. You do have one coming up before the backyard, which you mentioned. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, sure. So that is the Yard Trail Races. It's hosted back at the Yard in Chilton Candover. And we have two distances for that event. And we've got a 10K, which is a completely new route. And then we've got a 10 mile, which is the very similar to the hard yard route. And race entry or ticket entry is open, and the race day is on Saturday 23rd of September. And we've tweaked the start and finish, so we've got the 10 mile and the 10K pretty much bang on distance from the same start and finish, which is at the top of a 800-year-old yew tree avenue, which is quite a stunning setting both for runners to finish on and also for spectators to enjoy watching people coming up the finish. So if we get some cracking weather, it's going to be an amazing day.
Was that the same road we finished on for the hard yard last year?
It
Oi.
is the same, yeah, the same road avenue, and then you cross the road and come up the hill on the sort of did you hear that bit? Up the hill to the finish,
Up
and that's
the
sort of the
hill.
last bit of the grass coming up of the trail. So yes, it's only a small incline at the end, but after you've done the distance, you're going to feel it in your legs.
Okay,
But
great. Well,
yeah, so that's Saturday 23rd of September, and two distances, and the ticket entries are open. People can go to our website at blendedtrails.co.uk,
brilliant.
check out the info, find out a bit more about the race. We've got an event partner, Buzz Power, so you can sign up and get yourself a free pack worth £6, and that's they're fantastic products, and we'll be using those hopefully at the backyard as well.
Nice, very nice. There you go. People who want to race up in beautiful countryside, there it is.
Yeah.
Exciting. That's good. All the best with this. I really enjoyed the setting there last year. And I know obviously they've got the Yard Cafe there, which is really nice as well. So I assume that will be
Yeah.
open for post
It
drinks
will
and
be.
food.
Yes, it will be. And there's numerous coffee as well. They've got a kiosk there. They'll be open, and we'll be serving event food as well, which will be available for pre-order. So
Nice.
that's not actually open for pre-order right now, but it will be closer to the race day.
Perfect. Fantastic. Look forward to it. Now,
Yeah.
the backyard is coming. This is like super exciting news.
Yeah.
Obviously, you guys, we mentioned before, you guys are organizing your first for next June. And I don't know whether you agree with me, but there's still like a really nice sweet spot with backyards, which basically draws the runners in because of the format itself and how pretty much anyone can take part. I guess similar to a timed event, there's a way in which they kind of happen, which I'll let you maybe explain and give the details for. And yeah, you can basically explain what everyone's in for in the backyard for those who might be interested. But I guess tell us about what it's all about and when it's happening and give us all the juicy
Yeah,
details.
sure. Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, you're right. It's definitely got a sweet spot, and it caught my eye because I liked the idea that we as organisers could bring a race forward or an event into the community that was actually accessible to people at all levels. When that's a big part of what Blended is about. It's about introducing all sorts of distances and routes that people can enjoy across all different levels. And the backyard itself was it's actually the brainchild of Laz Lake, who's the race director of Barclay Marathons. And he came up with this concept that it's a looped course. So that loop is 4.166 miles, which equates to about 6.7K, but it's very specific in its and its distance, and that's one of the rules as a organizer that we have to follow to make sure it's exactly right.
Okay.
And the format is that you have an hour to finish or to start and finish a loop, and everybody starts and finishes the loop on the clock. So you have to be in the starting sort of what they call a corral a couple of minutes before the loop starts. And then you continue running and doing as many loops as you want to or you can make. And if you don't make, if you drop out, obviously you drop out, but you don't get an opportunity to go back into the next loop. So if you finish your lap, let's say we're in 50 minutes, then you've got a 10-minute rest before you go again.
Okay.
So that format kind of continues throughout the event. And the last person that finishes a lap is the winner, and anybody else that doesn't make the lap in time just ends up dropping out, and officially that is classed as a DNF, which
okay.
is obviously it didn't finish but participated, and obviously it's quite a harsh rule, but that's the setup. And what's great is it's not sort of driven by speed. It's sort of obviously it's all about pacing, but you don't necessarily have to be a quick runner to get involved in this, or even an ultra runner. And you know, that's what I love about it, is that you could, if you wanted to, you could come and do a half marathon. You could test yourself to try and achieve your first marathon. You could use it as your first ultra, or you could use it as training, which some people do for bigger events. And one of the reasons they do that is that you've or anybody can do get involved in a backyard, is that you've got the safety net, if you like, of mm-hmm. having a camp, which is, you know, your start and finish. So at any one point, you're not actually going to be more than a couple of K away from that start and finish point.
Yeah.
So that makes it a kind of a secure environment.
But also quite challenging. I assume you're running back into your camp all the time and back to base, and
yeah.
you're like, well, I could always just pull out now.
Exactly. And that's another thing, I guess, with it, because it's not only a physical challenge, but it's a mental challenge. And I think all ultra running's like that. But I should add here that I am not an ultra runner like you, Dan.
I'm just a runner, dude.
My favorite distance is a half, but I can, you know, with the right training, I can enjoy a marathon. But I think with this, with the backyard, it's accessible to a lot of people. But the mental side of it, of course, is going to be as hard as you want to push yourself. And I think with, yeah, the route that we've got is absolutely superb. And again, it's thanks to our friends at Chiltern Manor Farm. So it's the same venue as we will be in September for our trail race there. But we have, for the backyard, we've got it entirely on private land. And it's not using the same route that we use for any of the other distances and
okay.
races we're doing. So we've managed to craft a new trail. We've got some good elevation. We've got the trig point at Bugmore Hill, which has got views out to Winchester and back across the other side to across the Candovers. So there's a superb view at the top before you dive into a bit of private woodland, and you know, there's herds of deer up there, there's red kites and all sorts. So it's not just great scenery and a challenging route. It's actually it's a really, really good location. So we'll have our campsite sort of on the side of Bugmore Hill, and that looks out, it's on the actually in the edge of the woodlands, and then that looks out across the Candovers. So we'll have a decent camp there, and of course nice support and everything else that you would expect to the backyard.
Yeah.
Or any ultra. And you know, we're at the sort of, you know, prep stage now. The event's next June, so we're sort of 8th and 9th of June, so we're a way off, but there's a lot to do.
Oh yeah, for sure. And I guess also the other thing with having it way off is it like we've spoken about before, ultra runners kind of plan their running year, or people who are planning to do quite a fair distance in the race will be planning this kind of stuff way in advance. So
yeah, exactly. And you know, that's sort of obviously new learnings for me in this sort of space and ultra community. And you know, I'm actually contemplating entering a backyard before we organise the backyard, so I can A, have the personal challenge, but B, enjoy a bit of kind of research, if you like, and see how people are actually, I don't mean from an organiser's side, I mean more from a participant's perspective, and actually see what it's like from the mental challenge as well as the physical. But there's quite a few events out there. You know, this the backyard concept is a lot more than that. It's a global it's a global race now, an event. So so there are different backyards dotted around over the UK and obviously all over the world. So there's a couple to choose from, but I'd say there's at this time next year, I think there's probably only one other in the country. So even if people are looking at doing backyards in different locations, there's a couple to choose from.
Okay, so, interesting. And I've got to ask as well, but just back when you mentioned you've got a nice bit of elevation there, do you know how much exact elevation you've got? Are you allowed to say?
So you can see the details of our routes on our website.
Okay.
We're not sharing GPX details or anything like that, purely because it's on private lands, and we're respectful obviously to the access that we've got for the race.
Great.
The elevation is showing at 122 meters, and we're bang on the distance. Obviously, it's 6.7k. So we're sort of whilst that's the elevation, we have we're actually positioned fairly high on the landscape as well. So that's the sheltered and tucked in behind Gosfield Copse, but also in a point where you've got a nice view across the landscape.
Perfect.
So it's a challenging loop, I would say, and I've obviously run it a few times, but I've not run it as a backyard, and I'll continue to run it. But it's definitely got its challenges. But again, as a route, it's very mixed, like a lot of the trails that we do on our pop-ups and other events that we've got, sort of wide tracks and pathways. You've got field sidings,
okay.
Got some single track. We're running through the woodland, which is we've kind of put a nice loop into that to get the best out of the woodland that we can. So it's an interesting loop as well as being challenging. So
perfect.
Yeah, we're excited about sharing it.
Sounds good. It sounds exciting. It sounds like you've got pretty much everything you'd want out of a trail run all in that loop, which is great. I'm certainly you're actually like I'm getting a little bit kind of like tingly inside, because I've had a bit of a need a break from long running kind of thing going on, and I thought, well, I've never done this format before, so maybe this will build a little bit of a hunger up for next year, so we'll see. I'd love to come
and well, you're welcome along. It'd be great to have you.
So Ollie, so we found out a little bit about the route and a little bit, I guess, kind of indicates what kind of conditions people are going to have underfoot and what kind of elevation. But what will runners need to bring with them on the day in a backyard? Have you got any kind of idea as how best, you know, people can be thinking along the lines of, etc.?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I think that is going to vary considerably depending on what people want out of the event for themselves in terms of the run itself. So going back to what I was saying earlier, if you're planning your event to, let's say, run your first marathon or get past the ultra distance, then you're going to be out for a long time because of the hour loops. Yep. So we're setting the event up obviously with camping, so people will be able to bring all the usual kit along for a campsite.
Okay.
Then it comes down, I guess, to the equipment that you're going to use and wear on the day. So with an opportunity to stop between the laps, if you get in time, you can obviously change your kit, change your clothing, which, given the time of year we're in, people will probably want to do that because it could well be very warm. And then trail shoes, obviously, that on this route would be, even at this time of year, I would say, are a must because of the different types of terrain that we've got. I wouldn't call it a technical route, but there will be especially in the woodland, trail shoes will definitely be needed.
Okay.
And then I guess with nutrition is the big one. So
Yeah.
we would of course have a table and keep that well stocked with all the things that ultra runners love, and we think that perhaps are not the healthiest of foods for us, but actually is what we need.
Yeah.
And this is where I draw on friends and ultra runners like yourself. And ask and see what's what people need and want and how those changes happen. But I think seasoned ultra runners will know exactly what they need to bring because they will have been testing their nutrition for months and months probably beforehand and working out what works for them over certain distances and how they're feeling and that side of it. But from an event organizer's point of view, we'll do the catering that we. I've mentioned in terms of nutrition tables.
Yeah. Are you planning on having any hot food options or not that?
Just yeah, we are. We haven't yet secured our providers for that, but there are lots of options for us, and we'll definitely be having sort of food trucks there. And once we know who we're going to be having at the event, then we'll obviously share that information so that people can make decisions on what they may or may not need to bring, but we'll release that info as soon as we're able to.
Perfect. Sounds good. Can you give us an idea of the entry fee for the event, just so people have got a rough idea?
Yeah, sure. So it's £105, including the admin, and that's the admin as in the race registration fee. And that will, within that, you'll get a welcome drink on arrival. You've got your camping on the Friday night and the Saturday night. Event parking's included in that. There'll be toilets at the camp. We're at the moment, we're talking about having live satellite tracking. So that's something that is not just great for the event sort of medical security and safety side of it, but it's also really good for several people that are friends and family that aren't coming to the event that may want to watch and see how their friends are doing or family. So we're looking at that, and then we'll be within the entry fee there'll be a DNF medal, which we're designing at the moment. Race photography, that's of course in there, the fuel station that we talked about, and then hydration as well, so water, squash, coke, things like that. So
does the winner get a DNF medal or just doesn't get a medal at all?
No, the winner gets something really special, and we're not releasing info on that yet.
Good.
But again, we're having fun with the designs on that, but yes, they will definitely be getting something.
Fantastic. Sounds amazing. Like there's a lot included in there. So that's really good.
I mean, it's there is a lot included, and there's over the course of a couple of days, which it is, and it could in fact go for longer. So depending on who would like to enter and how long they're going to run for. But there's a lot of setup involved in all events and backyards as well. So.
So Ollie, yes. I've got to ask, and I'm asking this in a very humorous way, so you don't have to give a serious answer. What if you get to the end of day two and there are two or three runners still going?
Will you be one of them?
No, not with my recent performances. No.
Well, this is I think I'm going to be taking some extra time off work. To be fair, I have days before. I may well have days after, not for resting, but for waiting for runners, looking after runners. I don't know how long it's. That's part of the rule. So one of the rules is that the backyards need to be open ended. So there is no cut off time. It is entirely down to the last person, the winner. So we could be there till Monday, but we'll definitely be clearing up on Monday.
Okay. I wonder what the longest one is that's gone on. I remember the guy who broke the record, the backyard record. I can't remember what his distance was though, but I think they were there for about 2 days.
Yeah, I have heard of them going for even more, to be honest. But I don't know what the record is. I'd have to look that up. But on the official Backyard Ultra website, which is you can obviously see all of the events across the world. There's a there's a list there of like a running order, so you can see what's going on and how quick people are and how far they're going, I should say.
Okay, amazing. So, I love the idea of the satellite tracking. So I assume there's going to be like a little clip-on or pin thing that will go on your backpack or your shirt.
Exactly. It'll either be on your shoe, depending on which bit of kit we decide to use.
Yeah.
It'll either be a little disc that clips onto the shoelaces, or it will be something probably a little bit bigger than that, that either straps onto your ankle or your bag, wherever you'd want to carry it, really.
Okay. And I assume if people change shoes, that clip is adjustable, is removable.
Yeah, it just clips on. So it clips onto your laces, and it's really easy to take on and off. Although if you're changing your shoes frequently, it would be a bit of a pain to do that, to be fair.
Nice.
Yes, that's the idea anyway, that we'll track.
Brilliant. And I've got to ask, you've got an awesome team of volunteers around you. And I know a few of them. I know Joe, I know Vanessa, I met a few of them at the last Hard Yard race. Tell me a little bit about the volunteers and the kind of running community that you draw upon there. I guess I assume a few Alton runners come along and help out, but I guess you can't make do without them.
No, absolutely not. It wouldn't, you know, the events just wouldn't happen without the volunteers. And you know, we say that, and you hear about it and you read it, and it's so true. I mean, we are really grateful. I'm personally really grateful for the help that we get. And you know, this is another reason that I like to try and give a bit back, not just through what I'm doing with Blended in the community and the free pop-ups and stuff, but actually helping with the club and doing some of the race directing there. So I feel that in the kind of running community, people like to help. It's a really nice way of being involved in an event. If you can't run, or you don't want to run, or even if you're not a runner, you want to bring your other half or your kids along. We're always welcoming that. You know, we've had kids helping at the finish line, giving out medals and things. So there's something for everyone, and it can be a really fun morning out or day out, or you know, if it's a weekend event and you're helping across the weekend, then obviously you know, you can camp and at this event and be really part of it. And that for me is a really nice feeling, because it's about showing a bit of community spirit, and it adds a different you know, as an organizer, it adds a different dimension to the whole experience, because it's so important to give everybody a good experience at the event, and all the participants, but we want all the marshals and volunteers to have a good day as well.
Yeah.
And if everyone's smiling and you've got good memories from it, then that's you know, just help it's, it helps everything, and it's a good day out.
I think it's a great idea for kids and families, because you know, one thing that struck me about the Hard Yard when I attended your event was that there were kids kind of giving away the medals, and they love it. They absolutely, I mean, they might moan about it beforehand, like, oh, I've already got to do this. But once they do it and they're giving out sweets or medals or patting people on the back at the end, it makes it really good fun, and they really get into it. And I know my son came with me to your race, and he ended up dishing out a few medals as well. And he was out for the count on the way home in the car.
Was
literally,
it?
Like head back, mouth open like a dustbin. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, it's good. I mean, it's an opportunity to say thank you to everyone that has helped and has put themselves forward to help on ongoing events. I'm really grateful. So thank you for that. And if people would like to get involved in any of the events that we organise, then please do get in touch. I mean, we've got a page on the website which shows kind of what's involved. And as a thank you, we offer race credits now as well. So
great.
You know, hoping to bring a bit of discounted merchandise to the table as well. So, but yeah, race credits is a good one. And we, to a certain extent, will let those accrue as well. So if somebody's helped at two or three events, then you know, you can bank those and put them towards, let's say, a race entry at doing a backyard, which obviously costs a bit more. But actually, just on that's reminded me of something with the ticket entry price you asked about with the backyard.
Okay.
We've just signed up with Klarna, so that allows, and we're using that for the backyard ticket entry. So if people wanted to enter and spread the cost, then Klarna enables you to do that.
Oh, great.
You would, spread it over three or four months, I think it is. So yeah, but that's all available on the website, so you can check it out through our race registration platform.
Brilliant, amazing, Ollie. Thanks for that. That's fantastic. And there was one other thing that I wanted to just ask you quickly, which is obviously a super important topic with all the excess clothing and shoes we have at home. But do you partner with somebody? I think, are they called Jog On Recycling or something like that, where you can donate old shoes?
Yeah, we do, and thank you for reminding me of that, because I didn't mention it, but it is on our it is on the website. And again, it's an important part of the kind of ethos of Blended, if you like, about minimal impact on the environment. And in this case, the Jog On campaign is all about, it's an initiative to reduce the amount of old running shoes and shoes generally, I guess, going to landfill. So yep. We started collecting people's old shoes at our events. And we did the first one actually at our Dummerdown Trail Races a few months ago. And we'll be doing the same at the September event at the backyard. So that basically Great. Means bring the trainers along, chuck them in the recycling area, and we will make sure that they're disposed of responsibly or recycled to people that, that can use them.
Brilliant. That's excellent. I mean, obviously, we've got too many trainers kind of lying about and old ones that you kind of feel guilty about. You know, you just can't put them in a bin. You just can't do it.
No,
they shouldn't go in a bin. No.
I mean, the only caveat that we received from Jog On was that, you know, trail shoes need to be clean.
Okay.
so when I was looking to recycle some of my own, that required a bit of cleaning.
Okay. Please do not deliver them with fungus in them or anything. Yeah.
Well, no, nothing as bad as that. But it's a really good initiative, and we're really pleased to be part of it. So we Great. Encourage anybody to just hold on to their shoes and bring them to one of our events, or even, you know, if we decide to do one of our organised group runs, we'll let people bring them up to those, and we'll take them off their hands.
Amazing. That's great. So Ollie, you've mentioned the website a few times, but can you give us a couple of some details on how people can contact you? So just give us your website details again, and then also your own Instagram handles as well. Your own personal one as well would be great, because you're known as the Trail Crafter.
Yeah. Yes.
The master.
Yeah, thank you. So I can be contacted. So the website is blendedtrails.co.uk. Instagram at Blended Trails, Facebook private group, which obviously is a secure environment to share on. That's at Blended Trails. And then I can be contacted at Ollie, OLLIE, at blendedtrails.co.uk. And people can join any of our social groups, obviously, and they can join the community free via the website. Just open a free account, and that will then enable us to send what we call trail mail to you, which is giving you information about our pop-ups, our events, and anything else like we're doing with the Jog On campaign. So we don't send out lots of mail. We're only sending out mail when we've got useful or free info on routes and things that we're sharing. Okay. So do sign up, and then you'll be first to hear about stuff.
Great. Thank you so much. And Ollie, as you know, I always finish these interviews with what I call the recovery run questions, because you're done. You can relax now.
Right, okay. What's the recovery run question?
Yeah, these are your algebra questions for the day.
Right, okay. Well, I was never any good at that, but go on.
Yeah. I assure you, they're much easier than that. So, you do a lot of trail running. What shoes are you currently running in?
Oh, nice. That's easy. The Speedcross Salomon Speedcross 6. Which are absolutely superb.
Nice. Did you? I know we had a couple of conversations about you wanting to try some Hokas. Did you ever get yourself into any?
I haven't gone into the trail shoe different brands yet, to be fair, because I just love the Salomon shoes. I have done for years, so I just stick with them and move around with those. But I have the road shoes moved to the Hoka. Which I'm loving, to be fair. I wasn't sure how that might work for me, but they're a really, really good pair of shoes, the Bondi.
Oh, the Bondi, brilliant. Yeah, that's like an underrated shoe in the UK, I find. In America, they're really popular, but they'll last you a long time.
Yeah, that's good. But no, they're really comfortable. Well, it lasts me a long time because I don't hit the roads that often.
Yeah, you're always on the trail. They're literally going to last you your whole life.
Yeah, I mean they are really good. They're obviously great for going out in the winter. You know, the winter club runs that we do, which are obviously road based. So
Cool.
yeah,
Okay,
that's the shoe.
good, great. Next question. Your favorite way to cool off in the during a run in the summer?
And during a run,
Yep.
well, how do you cool off on a run in the summer? I mean, I
Yeah.
quite like to just run without a t-shirt on sometimes.
Oh,
Yeah, I mean, post run, it's just got to be a cold shower. I don't have a swimming pool or a plunge pool or even a paddling pool. So, but yeah, I think running wise, it's quite difficult, isn't it? I mean, if it's windy, that's perfect.
Yeah, I've
But
tried a lot of weird things. I've tried like I think the most recent craze I heard of, which was through podcasts as well, was menthol. Apparently, menthol can not cool you down, but it tricks your brain into thinking it's cooler than it is, which helps. Anyone got experience with that? Please write to us and tell us.
yeah, I'd be interested to hear about that one
Yeah.
and try it.
I've tried freeze gels. They don't tend to work. They just make you more and
No?
more sticky as you go along. Obviously the
Yeah,
sun creams and stuff like that. And what's great, honestly, when you're racing and I don't know what the temperatures will be like at the backyard, but ice. If somehow crews at aid stations
yeah.
or event directors and race directors can somehow work out an ice solution, they are game changers.
Really, that's
Oh.
all right. I mean, that's my golden nugget for our conversation today. That sounds good.
Not
Sounds
enough
difficult.
not
Yeah,
enough of yeah not enough races have ice, and I think it's, you know, especially something like the Serpent Trail, where which is coming up soon, you know, if they could somehow just get like the crew man the aid station managers just to see if they could, you know, even if they've got like a crate or something like that that they can put ice in just to last those few hours, game changing.
Interesting. Well, yeah, as I say, a nugget, and I will look into that. Can't
Yeah.
promise anything.
Yeah, no,
It's all
well,
logistics, but
exactly.
yeah, it's good to know.
Awesome. Oh, there we go. That's it. We're done. Time out.
Nice.
Time
Well,
out, Ollie. But listen, I just wanted to give you a last chance, obviously, to you know, to add any final words about the trail running community, your experiences so far, the people you've kind of met and helped, about your volunteers, your helpers, anything about the upcoming races that we haven't covered. So all over to you to close off with.
Thank you very much. I mean, I think we've covered everything I thought we might talk about and probably more, but I would like to thank everybody that is part of the community. It's fantastic to see it sort of grow and people to enjoy it mostly. You know, that's the biggest thing is people enjoying what we're doing and coming back for more pop-ups and joining us at the events. And as I say, the volunteers that we have make those events happen, and you know, people coming to those events, it just creates this great atmosphere, and that is what memories are all about. So thank you to everyone really that's involved in it and helping it move forward. And yeah, thank
Brilliant.
you very much for inviting me along today. But
Pleasure.
as I say, we're you know come and join the community that's through the website, and we'll welcome you on board.
There we go, runners. You've heard it from the man himself, the creator, the brains, the mastermind behind Blended Trails. Ollie, been an absolute pleasure to chat. It always is speaking with you. I love your enthusiasm. I love your passion that you have for the trails. And honestly, what I think you're doing up there, the way you've kind of managed the brand and the helpers you've got there, you're all doing a fantastic job. It's really fantastic. And
Thanks.
I really wish that people listening will go up and just at least try some of your pop-ups and have a look at the races and see if they fancy their hand in the backyard. So thanks again. I appreciate it and look forward to running with you in the future.
It's been a pleasure. Thanks, Dan. Speak to you soon.
Take care, mate. All the best.
It mate. Bye. Bye.